Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Taekwondo Life Magazine. We are a member of the Believe Sports Network. Believe is the number one sports and podcast network for professionals. Do you believe? My name is Mark Sirianis. I'm your host, Third Dan Black Belt, and the editor-in-chief of Taekwondo Life Magazine. Today we are excited on the program to have a returning guest, Master Ronnie Molina. You might remember Master Molina from a program we did way back in the 20s when he had released a book called Talking to the Masters. It was an interview format book where Master Molina had written, started writing the book as a passion project for his, at that time, sick and dying mentor, and turned into an opportunity to interview some of the great martial artists of our days on numbers of topics. Subsequent to that time, those of you who may remember, Master Molina happens to be a longtime law enforcement person in Sugarland, Texas, and he has written sort of a love letter to the police department, a book called Above and Beyond, Heartfelt Stories of the American Police Officer. We've read the book. We love the book. We're proud to showcase it. And on today's program, we speak to Master Molina about the follow-up to his first book, about this book, and about how he's been dealing with training during this crazy pandemic period. So if you want to get either one of Master Molina's books, I suggest you check out Amazon or anywhere where books are sold. I highly encourage you to support our police, support Master Molina, and to pick up this great book. Enjoy the program. We look forward to hearing from you. Please be sure to like and subscribe to our show everywhere that podcasts are heard. Thank you, and have a great day.
How are you doing?
Happy holidays. Good. Good.
So how's everything? It's been a while. I was looking, you know, you were back episode 27 of our podcast, and we're into 100 now, and we only go weekly. So it's been
That's pretty awesome. Yeah, it has been a while.
So
everything's good. Just everything's weird with this coronavirus stuff. So
yeah, sure. You know, it's day by day, and hopefully we're
right.
For those who are not familiar with you, I'm speaking today to Ronnie Molina, who is master of the martial arts, who is a longtime law enforcement officer. And you're still in Sugarland, Texas, correct?
I am. Yes.
Who became acquainted with us when we interviewed you and we did a number of pieces regarding your book, Talking to the Masters, which is a terrific book. In fact, before this, I was going to grab it and I realized I lent it to somebody. So I'm good. I'm glad you
have it. I got it.
Yeah, somebody borrowed my copy. And we're talking today on the release of, I'm very excited about this, your new book, Above and Beyond, heartfelt stories of an American police officer. And I just loved it. I devoured it. We have a lot of friends. As you can see, I'm wearing my counterterrorism unit hat.
Nice.
From New York City counterterrorism unit. I think the book is just terrific. I think it's what's needed in this time. And I wanted to congratulate you. So
I appreciate that. Thank you.
So tell me a little bit about this. Obviously, let's sort of close the gap. So when you were last with us, we interviewed you about the release of your book, Talking to the Masters, which was very, very successful, which was well received. You had some trepidation. You weren't historically career-wise an author, but it seems that that bug took, and here we are today. So tell me a little bit about that. What was the response to that one? How did that lead to this project?
You know, I had a lot of positive feedback about listening to the Masters. It was dedicated to my instructor who passed away with cancer. I actually started writing it before he passed away. Unfortunately, he didn't get to see the finished product, but I mean, I talked to him daily, so he knew what was going on. A lot of friends, a lot of people online liked it. I interviewed a lot of really cool people, Bill Superfoot Wallace, Jeff Biskamp, Ted Gambardella, you name it. There was a bunch of people in the book who were just high level martial artists. And I just got their opinions on all kinds of questions, what their favorite techniques are, just you name it, what books they're reading, which is a big one for me because I read constantly. Matter of fact, I actually thought about going through and every single book that they suggest ordering it, but I haven't done that yet. But I've got a stack of books higher than my ceiling that I haven't even gotten to yet. So I had a lot of good feedback and a lot of good reviews from the book. So I actually, when I talked to you last, I believe I mentioned that I had the idea for this book.
Yes.
And I didn't have anything lined out. I think I maybe had started writing it, but at the very beginning, whenever I write a book, usually everything at the beginning I scrap towards the end anyway. And I just constantly rewrite. That's kind of a fault, I guess. But I thought that this book was kind of needed. You know, I've been in law enforcement for, in April will be 19 years. And we've kind of been hit hard this year, or the last couple of years, really. Sure. And I thought that it was kind of unfair because I know that there's a few bad apples out there, but there's a few bad karate instructors. There's a few bad Taekwondo instructors who run shady schools. I mean, it's in every single field, there's bad people. And I thought that it really needed to be shown some of the good people in law enforcement. The majority of them are good people, in my opinion.
And I do agree with that. And, you know, because of the work that we do and a lot of the overlap in terms of martial arts, we have tons of NYPD and people that are related to federal law enforcement that over the years we've trained with and gotten close to. And they are among the finest people that, you know, I've known in or outside of law enforcement, and you're 100% right. And through all of this craziness of this year, whether it be pandemic, whether exposing themselves to risk, whether it be through riots, all of them, you know, left their families and went to work and did over and above what was needed. And so tell us a little bit, for those who aren't familiar, this isn't a story of, it's not a detective story. It's not a cops television. It's not in and of itself a book about your, I'm sure you could write a really interesting book about some of your arrests and some of your,
that's going to be when I retire. I'm going to write that one whenever.
Whenever of the criminal enterprise. This is a very different kind of a book. Tell us a little bit about, you know, summarizing what the book is about and you know, how it is that you chose the stories there, because I'm sure that there's a ton of stories that didn't make the book.
Right. So I decided to make this one pretty short. I didn't want, I mean, my last book was, I think, close to 90,000 words. This one's 35 to 38,000 words. I can't remember. I wanted it to be shorter, mainly because I wanted to be a little bit lazier. The last one took a year and a half to do. This one took a lot less time. I was a lot busier when I was writing this book, so it took me longer than it should have, but I had a lot of other stuff going on, especially with the pandemic and everything that was happening. It's just a bunch of stories of police officers who went above and beyond what they're normally responsible to do to help people in their community. So we've got officers who saw children in need who ended up adopting the children. I've got people in here who bought furniture for needy children. I've got, you name it, there's stories in here of people who have, and it's not always about spending money. It's just about how they've actually served their community, helped people who needed it outside of a law enforcement function. So, I mean, one gentleman helped an elderly guy move all the way across the country, you know, on his own time, just because he didn't feel like he should be driving alone through four or five states. Stories like that happen every day across the country. The news media, they want to tell you it's all about police brutality. Cops are beating everybody up. Cops are hurting everybody. And I'll be the first to admit, some cops do that. Some cops are not good people. My experience is the opposite. I've only dealt with upstanding people throughout my career, and had the few that I can remember who weren't on the up and up, they usually weed themselves out pretty quick. Doesn't always happen that way. You see in some of these huge agencies, Minneapolis or wherever, these guys slip through the cracks and they stay cops for a long time and they're doing bad things. I don't think that's the norm. I think this right here highlights that, you know what? The majority of police officers are great people.
I do agree. So tell me about, the book is only out now. We're talking about, it's out less than a month, right? About a month. What has the response been from inside and outside the law enforcement community to it?
So far, I've gotten the majority of just people love it. People are hungry for good stories, for positive stories, because all we've had in 2020 is it's been a dumpster fire the whole time. Right. People love it. Now, I have gotten some hate online. Some knuckleheads have been posting anti-cop memes and what have you, but the majority of people have actually just loved it. So
it's great.
And I mean, the good thing is they're short stories,
right?
Every story is short. It's punchy. It's a quick read. Like when I read books, I'll look ahead. How long is this chapter? See how much time I have. Cause I have to read every night before I go to bed. I'll say, oh man, this chapter is huge. I don't want to start it. Right. These, it's easy. You can get through two or three in, you know, 20 minutes.
That's great. Have you had situations where it has generated people in law enforcement sending you more stories, like for potential for a follow-up? Like, hey, you know, this story would be really great for your next book. That kind of
thing. Not yet, but I'm hoping they will. I'm hoping people will do that.
That's great. That's great. Because a lot of times that's the genesis of these things, where people feel really, you know, inspired by it. And there are so many great stories out there. People just don't necessarily always think to reduce them either to writing, or they don't know how to reduce them to writing. So,
and you know, since I did this one, I've subscribed to so many Facebook pages, police officer pages, police department pages, and I'm still saving stories. I haven't decided if I'm going to do another one like this. I probably will. It was pretty easy to do. I enjoyed doing it. I enjoyed writing it. So I've been saving those. I've got them all in a folder. So I'll probably use those here in the next couple of months and start another one.
That's great. That's truly great. So tell me, let's shift gears a little bit, because when you and I spoke last time, the world was in a very different place from the standpoint of training. I know that you have at least one son who was very actively involved in training Taekwondo. I know that you have your own training. Obviously, the world has changed a lot. How have you guys managed in terms of dealing with training during this time? I don't know what the state is in terms of Texas, in terms of whether the dojangs are open, closed. You know, here we've had sort of...
They are open. Big.
Oh, they are open.
Yeah, they are open. It's finally starting to get a little bit more relaxed. There for a while, it was a certain amount of people could be in the... Like, so my son would go to his class and I would have to stay outside. I couldn't go in. At the beginning of this year, he had a broken foot. So he broke his foot doing, like most martial artists do, playing a sport outside of martial arts.
Right,
he was playing basketball and he broke his foot. So we had to miss, which they canceled anyway, but we ended up having to miss nationals this year, which he was really hoping to get another gold medal. That had been three in a row. And this would have been the first year he would compete as a black belt. So that would have been really cool.
Was the AAU nationals in Florida?
Yes. Yes. they ended up postponing it. I guess it wasn't completely canceled. They postponed it from down the road. And then he had just been out for so long with a broken foot. We decided, you know what, let's train up. Let's wait till next year. We'll go do that. Training, just like everything else in the world right now, it's weird. It's just strange. You know, everyone's afraid of physical contact. So there for the longest time, they were doing weapons. They were doing almost like CrossFit workouts every day. There was no sparring. They just started sparring back, and everybody's rusty. It looks like a bunch of beginners out there, which is fine. I know at work, we've been trying to limit our contact with people. So even other than training, just law enforcement in general, everything has changed so much. Like, you know, we handle so many calls over the phone now, like that we used to show up in person, but they're trying to limit our exposure to people. We've got 180 sworn officers at my department, and we've had several out with the coronavirus. Now they've got the vaccine. We got several of them getting vaccines. I'm just curious how it's all going to play out in 2021. I pray that it gets back to normal, or at least somewhat back to normal, to where we can actually live our lives.
I think for the time being, I think you're going to see that things are definitely not the same. And then I think you're going to probably see, once people feel comfortable, a little bit of zany, crazy, wild kind of other way type behavior. That's my prediction. Is it's going to get a little bit crazy. People are really longing for the contact, and what you say about the sparring is interesting, because we've been doing a whole series on the postponed Olympics. And, you know, even though the Olympics are due and they could conceivably happen this summer in Tokyo, the real question is going to be about those athletes, is how ready are those athletes going to be, and how rusty are they going to be when it comes to sparring in on that level? I mean, you know, for so many of them, they hadn't taken any time off for years, and now all of a sudden they've been off for a year. You know, what are they going to look like? What is that competition going to look like? And how is it going to
I can tell you, just from my son's school, which is a fairly large school, everybody looks different right now. I mean, for so long they weren't sparring at all. And sparring is so important. It's so important. I mean, you've got to be used to getting hit. You've got to be used to hitting people. And once you lose that for a while, you feel like a fish out of water. I know I do. Whenever I've gone a long period of time without any sparring. And here lately, the only sparring I've been doing is with a 13-year-old. So... he's getting there, you know, he's almost as tall as me now, but you know, it's a 13-year-old. So once I actually get back with some of my buddies, man, and how bad am I going to look? You know, that's what I'm worried about.
Yeah, I know the feeling, right? And for me, I turn around and go, listen, you know, the fact that you get to be a situation where, for me, age-wise, if you're not doing it constantly, you're slowing down, you know, anyway, it takes you a lot longer to get yourself into that warmed up. You know, so it's a double whammy. But listen, we're all doing the best we can, and you know, thank God for the virtual to be able to do it. And we've had a mix here of virtual and live that we were shut down for a little while. But most of the schools are similar to what you say: limited class sizes, more space between classes, shorter classes. But again, most of it is drills that people do on their own. You know, you're doing drills, but you're all doing it simultaneously, not together. So, you know,
it's good to do something. It's just different.
Very different. So tell me, as we're winding down, what else is in store for you for the upcoming year? And do you even know? I mean, who knows, right? I mean, who knows what if I had asked you this last December, what's in store for you for 2020, we'd be looking back at it going, wow, who knew?
I would have been completely way off. This year, I mean, like November and December of this year, even though we're going through the heart of this pandemic, these are the two busiest months in law enforcement at our place. You know, we've got a fairly affluent city that we work in, and it just swells up during the holidays with shoppers and everything else. And even though the majority of things are probably being bought online, our malls, our stores are packed, which is a good sign. I'm happy about that, because it means that people are braving the pandemic, and they're going out and they're actually trying to live their lives. Restaurants are getting back to business. I love seeing that, but I really don't know what's going to happen law enforcement wise. We've got this crazy election that's going on. We've got all kinds of political stuff going on. I'm just as curious as you are how that's going to affect the world. As for me personally, I've started a fiction novel. We'll see how that goes. Fiction is way harder than writing these types of stories.
Totally different. It's a totally different mindset. And I've done one or two, and it's a totally different exercise of the use of your brain than writing in this way. It's a little.
I've got some really good friends who are authors who I rely on. You know, Roger Lay, Ted Nolte. I rely on these guys. I call them with, "Hey, does this sound like crap?" And they'll say, "Yeah, that sounds pretty terrible." You know, or they'll say, "No, that sounds pretty good." So luckily, I've got some friends that will give me some honest feedback. So that's good. So I've got that. I've thought about writing a few articles, blog posts. I'm just kind of, you know, whenever a book is released, you know, you go through the whole trying to get it out there and everything, and then you kind of lose sight on, hey, I should be writing some more too, you know? Right. So I've really been trying to focus on writing, you know, every day, just like I try to do something in the martial arts every single day, even if it's something small. You know, I'm a busy person. I try to do something every day that's going to make me better. So I don't know. You'll see some stories. Hopefully I can push out a book a year, maybe two. So,
well, that's great. Yeah. That's great. Well, we'll be here. We'll be here to talk to you about it. So awesome. Ronnie Molina, on your release of your new book, Above and Beyond, Heartfelt Stories of the American Police Officer, I want to congratulate you. I really did enjoy it. I enjoyed it as much, but in a different way than I did the other book. The other book, obviously my passion for martial arts, and I consider myself a martial arts historian. I really enjoyed hearing those stories and hearing in people's own words the things that they talked about in talking to the masters. But this book really, I do agree with you. I think it is needed. It's a book for our time. People need to be able to hear the good stuff that police are doing. You know, my own kids, I got small kids, and my son asked me, he's 10, and he's like, "Why is everybody so down on the police?" And, you know, it's the kind of thing I could share with him and be able to talk to him about these stories, and hopefully he'll understand that, you know, as difficult as it is, that there's, like you said, the vast majority of people are good and decent, and we want to attract more of them, because so many in New York in particular, so many of the senior you know, NYPD people have decided to call it quits and retire. And
my heart breaks for New York, for NYPD especially, because those, you know, you grow up and you see the greatest law enforcement agency in the world is NYPD, and to see how it's unfolding right now with everything it's devastating. It's sad.
It is. And for someone who's been in New York their entire life, and I've seen the ups and the downs, to understand how, you know, generationally it can be so short-sighted, then, you know, especially when you look at those people and the role they played in not after 9/11 in particular, that, you know, it was the bravery and the strength of the NYPD and the FDNY that really carried the city, for people to talk about, well, we're better off with less police and less money to the police. You go that, you know, those are people who really just don't remember or choose not to remember, obviously have a different agenda. So, but my expectation is that's not going to be long lasting. I hope not. You know, brighter days are ahead, and we thank you for doing what you can to bring these things to the national attention. So Ronnie, it was really good talking to you. I wish you health and success and happy holidays into 2021 to you and your family. And I look forward to talking to you next year.
Yep. Same to you. I appreciate it.
Very good. Happy holidays. All right. It was good to talk to you. Thank you so much.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.